but I'm just excited. I found one evangelism bone in my body, because I used to say I didn't have any, and then somebody came in here and backed me into a corner, and I came out as an evangelist, and I'm like, I've got one evangelism bone in my body if I get backed into a corner. So I appreciate Pastor Lee a lot, because I don't know how he does what he does. And I know we are in for a word that we will not forget, life-changing, name of Jesus. Here we go.
Okay.
There you go.
Hey, here we are. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Good to be here with you again. You may be seated. Amen. Glory to God. God's got some wonderful things for us, I believe, today. And it's good to be here with you. I appreciate your pastor, Pastor Jack and Pastor Patty. Known them for years. Love them. Appreciate them so much. It was such a blessing. I know they're a blessing to you. And they're such a blessing to the body of Christ. And we appreciate also Pastor Rebecca. You know, she... it takes, as Faith said earlier, it takes a person of fortitude to fill the shoes of a pastor while he's gone. I know that for sure. I was telling Brother Tom Smith, I had assistant pastor in Georgia. His name was Tom Smith as well. So, amen. But it does. And we appreciate that anointing on your life, Pastor Rebecca. Amen. Well, God's got some good stuff for us, I believe. Amen. Pastor Jack and Patty, they're in one of our favorite places where we spent our honeymoon, actually, and may even share some testimonies from when we was there years ago of St. Augustine, Florida. But one of our favorite vacation spots, as well as memorabilia there. Amen. God's moving here. You know, it's wonderful to be with you. It's been a while since I think I've been here, hadn't it? And just wonderful to be back with you. I'll be back with you again in about a month, I guess, you know, for the Five-Fold Conference, right? So looking forward to that. Amen. God's got, there's some things happening here today. Amen. That's already begun. And I believe it's going to escalate more and more as we get more into the service. Well, I'm, for those of you who have not, everybody seen me before? Okay, well, got two people up here. I'm glad to hear. I always tell people, you know, I've got people sometimes to services we do and, you know, meet them on the elevator or whatever and say, you know, you ought to come and see this guy. I say, I can honestly say I've never missed one of his services. Amen. But, I'm Pastor Lee. I handle the outreach area of Grace Ministries, Grace Fellowship in Lexington, Kentucky, and have a number of different areas that we cover besides going and minister to churches, building churches up, holding evangelism conferences, and what have you. We are very active in outreaches in the Lexington area. We've seen God is doing some wonderful things there. We're seeing words come to pass that we've prayed over the years and manifesting now. And it's wonderful to see what God is doing in the city of Lexington and in Georgetown all around. We were actually in Georgetown doing an outreach here a couple months back and excited to be back with you again. Amen. Also, Jennifer, grab some of those books down there, and while I'm at it, I'll touch on a couple of different things. But we have a book table right there in the back and has some media on it that that I believe will help you, will help your church, it'll help you build your life up. I have a twofold ministry and message about what we do. Twofold ministry. Thank you, Jennifer. Twofold area. I believe in seeing people get saved, turned on to Jesus, connecting with God, and then doing the same thing. See, many times we get turned on to God, we get connected to Jesus. Are y'all turned on to God today? Do we have anybody that's here turned on to God today? If you're not, you will be by the time you leave. I believe it. Do you believe it? Well, many people, they get turned on to God, they get connected to Jesus, and that's kind of it. You know, they don't replicate that in other people's lives. And I believe that there is a twofold purpose in our lives. God's ministering to us, and then He's ministering through us to someone around us. And I have some, a lot of my books are geared that way. You know, they're easy reading, they're short, and I believe that they'll be effective in your life. One of them is Exuberant Life, and this is just a book of short stories. And as a matter of fact, some of these actually are testimonies and short stories when we were on our honeymoon in St. Augustine. Amen. About how God moves in the most unusual times, doesn't He? I mean, God doesn't give you, you know, sometimes He's not always giving you the heads up a month in advance. Sometimes it's spontaneous. Can you say spontaneous? God is a spontaneous God. I'm thankful that He is, because there was one spontaneous evening that changed my life 28 years ago when I was on drugs and I was an alcoholic, and just my life was, I say it's fried, died, laid to the side. My life was a mess, and God is a spontaneous God, and God sent people spontaneously to my house right when I was crying out to Him. Amen. Right at that very moment, in the dead of night, God sent people directly to my home to reach my life, and I'm eternally thankful for those people who obeyed God. Amen. I have a team. Well, let me tell you a couple other books here. Overcoming Obstacles of Offense. I believe that this is one of the greatest obstacles Christians face, and that really everybody faces. Has anybody ever had an opportunity to get offended? Yeah, two people will have a altar call for lying afterwards for the rest of you. I'm kidding. But Overcoming Obstacles of Offense. Everybody's had that obstacle come up into your life. And the thing is knowing how to handle it, knowing where they come from, where they lead, and how to deal with it. Amen? Amen. Anybody like that today? She raised her hand first. I'm not going to try to throw it back there. Thank you, Pastor Chad. Amen. Also, New Creations, this is what many people know me by the most as far as media. New Creations, I wrote this 22 years ago for the body of Christ to build up and make disciples. Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples of all men. Amen. And that's what it is. It's a foundational course. You can do it individually. You can do it as a course. There's a teacher's guide back there as well. Amen. One of the greatest things I appreciate in the body of Christ is the teamwork that God places there. You are in a body. Now, you may say, duh, I'm sitting right here. Yeah. But we are all part of the body. And being a part of the body means teamwork. That means we got to all work together. You know, if your arm's over here doing one thing and your leg's doing another, you're going to look kind of weird to other people. Amen? God's caused our body to operate together. And that's what teamwork's about. And we have I have a great team that God surrounded me with, the GO team. We do a lot of areas of ministry in different aspects, in training people, in areas of ministry as far as inner city. We minister a lot to people that are homeless, the down and out, downcast, street evangelism, you name it. We're in it, dorm ministry where we house people that are homeless, some different areas. And I have a video. Were we ready with that? I mean, I wanted to show you a video, just kind of sums up what we do and what it's about. Amen. Some of that was kind of hard to see, but there's a number of healings in there. The lady that you know, when I ask her, you know, what's going on? She said, I don't know. You know, she got healed. She had a God touched her. She just wants this, the first lady, that's one of the ladies in this individual. I think it's the first lady that we're praying for. These are people that they're predominantly unchurched. These are people that have no clue about prayer and healing or anything. So they don't fake it. I mean, they're coming in and they're not, if they fall out in the spirit, it's not a courtesy drop. I can assure you, it's the power of God touching their life. You know, sometimes we'll get up in prayer line, next person falls like, oh, okay, I don't want to look bad, so I'll follow along with them. But these people come in, and the power of God just so wonderfully comes in, touches them, heals them. This the one lady, she had a compound fracture in her leg, had a brace on, instantly healed by the power of God. The other lady that I'm praying for, and I'm just pulling people out of the video, there's a lot more people that we prayed for on top of that. But the one lady came in, she had a stomach issue for almost 3 years where she was vomiting all the time. And she was instantly healed by the power of God. The lady at the end, that was giving her testimony, I don't know if you could hear about arthritis, she had crippling arthritis and came in for prayer, instantly healed by the power of God. Can you give him some praise today? Amen. And one of our team members needed prayer one day and had come in. I could tell that Darren was, he's kind of grimacing. I could tell he was in some pain, but you know, he's confessing healing. And you know, it's important to keep your confession up, you know, regardless of what you're feeling. And Darren, I could tell he's grimacing, he's in pain. And I asked him, I said, Darren, what's going on? He said, you know, been walking out, you know, healing in my back. And I didn't know everything that was going on in his back. And I said, well, let's take care of that right now. And laid hands on his back, commanded healing to take place. And he began to turn like this and then bend over and touch his toes. Well, you know, we see this all the time, so I didn't think much of it. Well, later on, I found out that Darren, a number of years ago, he had about a pound of metal in his back. He had a cage in his back, and the doctor said, you'll have zero mobility. You're not going to have any mobility. You can't do this, and you cannot bend over. No, amen. So he's doing this, and he's got total mobility now. Okay, now that wasn't the end of it. I asked Darren, I said, go with me. I said, I got to make a run to a hospital. It was actually Eastern State. And one of their hospitals, when we went in, it's like going through an airport. There's so much, there's a metal detector there. And they have a scanner, a wand, and the metal detector. So I walk through it, and it picks up my belt buckle. You know, so it's pretty sensitive, picks up my watch and my belt buckle, take my watch off, walk on through. And Darren had told me before we went through, he said, this should be interesting. I said, why is that? He said, I got about a pound of metal. There was about a pound of metal in my back when I had that surgery. There was a cage in my back and all these things. So I said, amen. So he walks through. Now, mind you again, my belt buckle had just set it off. He walks through, nothing. Oh, I don't think you heard that today. He walked through, nothing. Dissolved. Gone. That's our God. And I believe we're living in the day where God is bringing forth creative miracles. And it's just a wonderful thing. And in the last gentleman that you may have saw in there, Edward, he came a couple weeks ago. And had operated on his leg, his calf area, and removed muscles and all kinds of stuff. I mean, he's a mess. His back was messed up, and he couldn't bend over. He couldn't touch his toes. Well, you saw what he did there. Amen. And the one lady that had crippling arthritis, she could kick. I am convinced that the lady could kick a field goal. We've got a video of her. She can kick her foot straight up. She had crippling arthritis, totally healed by the power of God. Isn't God wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? He's worthy of some praise. Amen? Amen. He's just a wonderful God. But I just love to see how God just comes in and touches people's lives and heals them. And then, you know, when you tell them about Jesus after God touches their life, their ears are really perked up. You know, Jesus came in and he healed multitudes. Multitudes of people were healed by the power of God. So when they heard the good news, the gospel, they were more attentive in listening. Amen. You know, it's easier listening when you've experienced God. Amen. Amen. Well, glory to God. Are you ready for the Word of God today? Amen. Because I believe I've got something here for you. I want to talk to you today about enlarging your perception by redefining possibilities. Sounds like a Pastor Jack message, doesn't it, right? Amen. Amen. Enlarging your perception by redefining possibilities. What am I talking about? Many things today are based on perception. I mean, the glass is half full or, you know, half empty, depending on how you're looking at life's like that, depending on how you see things. Now, a number of years ago, if you would have said, you know, you're going to pray for people and metal is going to dissolve in their back, I would have said, praise God, hallelujah, one of these days. But years ago, I was like, you know, I'm going to do what now? And we're seeing things now. We're seeing things that today that we dreamed about before, that we said, well, you know, I believe God's going to do some great things. And now today we're seeing God come through and do some wonderful things in the lives of His people. Many opportunities that God has given have been lost due to a person's perception. Have you ever had an opportunity loss because you looked at it wrong? Well, possibilities are all a matter of perception, what you believe that God can do for you. Amen. Those who say they can and believe that they can, and those who say they cannot and don't believe that they can, they're both right. They're both seeing it, you know, through, they have a perception of it. When God sent the children of Israel in to spy out the land, He sent 12 men in to spy out the land. Only two came back with a good report. And their report was all based on their perception. Now, the 10 came back, they had a wrong perception. They said, this land that you sent us into, it's swallowing people up. There's giants in the land. And we were like grasshoppers in their sight. Now, I have to wonder who told them that. Because they weren't talking to the giants. Somebody told them that. You know, I've got a good idea who told them that. The same entity that's telling people that today. You know, that would be the devil. Tells people, you can't do it. You're not going to amount to anything in your life. You are not going to get beyond where you are. Well, I've got good news for you today. Amen. The devil is a liar. Aren't you glad he's a liar? He's a liar. You can learn great truths from what the devil says. And what do you mean? What do I mean? Is the devil is a liar. He's the father of lies. So if when he tells you something, and he will, just go the opposite direction. Amen. When he says you can, you say, thank you for telling me that. Now I know I can. When he says you're not healed, say, thank you for that. Now I know I'm healed. When he says you're not going to be able to do it, or this is the last time you're going down this time, say, thank God I'm not. Hallelujah. And just put a good laugh along with that. Amen. A person's perception of things will often direct and influence their affairs in life. Have you ever noticed that? If you're over here saying, well, I'll always work in this, I'll always be in this job, I'll never get a raise, I'll never make it in this job, and you know, they're wondering while 20 years later, they're in that same position, doing that same job, and still grumbling and complaining about the job. Amen. That doesn't pertain to anybody here, does it? If it does, you know, just I always tell people, it's like, just act like the cat, and if it rubs you, if you're petting it and it rubs you the wrong way, he'll turn around. It's got to turn around. Amen. Hallelujah. In the same way, our perception of God will often influence how we live and how we serve Him. We're seeing things, I mean, there's things today we take for granted. You know, like the world's round, right? Everybody knows that, don't they? No eyebrows going up. The world is round. We know that. We take it for granted today. But how many of you know there was a day they did not take that for granted? Everybody believed that the world was flat. And if you kept selling on, you would go over the edge of the world. I don't know where you would end up, but you know, they believed that you'd go over the edge of the world. Well, a man by the name of Christopher Columbus read the Bible. And then the Bible says that God talks about the sphere of the earth. And he said to himself, if the earth is a sphere, then it's round. So if you sail, you'll just meet yourself again. And he took that revelation from the Word of God, and he discovered America. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? Because aren't you glad you're an American? Amen. Hallelujah. So many people have discovered things. They've invented things over the years. They've boldly went where no one has went before, you know, and discovered things. And we're thankful for it. I mean, Henry Ford, Alexander Graham Bell, and we are all thankful for Alexander Graham Bell. Ladies, the telephone, right? Amen. Alexander Graham Bell, Galileo, Sir Isaac Newton, Albert Einstein, E equals MC squared, Pastor Jack, where you at? No. Amen. Bill Gates, these men were forerunners and pioneers. They opened the door of possibilities for everyone else. They opened the door for possibilities. And when we step out in faith on the Word of God, you're opening a door of possibilities for your life to do what you couldn't do before, to go where you've never been before, and to accomplish what you've never accomplished before. Some things which at one time were thought impossibilities are now the expected norm. Things into healing. Apostle Callahan, he's been teaching in our Sunday services on the nothing missing, nothing broken, and that there was not a feeble one among us. We're believing God for that. In the whole congregation, not one feeble one among us. You may ask me, well, are you there? No, but we're headed there. Yes, we are headed there. Amen. Not one feeble one among us. That's a great feat. You know, when God brought His people out of Egypt, there was not one feeble one among them. Of all the people that came out of Egypt, millions of people, millions, at least 2.5 million people came out of Egypt, out of slavery, out of the house of bondage. And the Scripture says there was not one feeble one among them. Now, on top of that, God brought them out with great abundance. Can you say great abundance? They spoiled the Egyptians. In other words, they went, I believe it was kind of like this, that says they went and borrowed, but God doesn't borrow and not pay back, right? So we know that borrow is incorrect. They went to their neighbors and said, I think it was kind of like this. Do you want us to leave? Have you had enough plagues? It's kind of like the you know, you watch these pharmaceutical commercials, all the side effects to the medicine. Have you had enough side effects of disobedience? Of keeping us here, this is your side effects, the plagues, the frogs, the locusts, the hell, on and on. Have you had enough yet? And they were like, yeah, give your money over. Or we'll just hang out for a couple more months or whatever, and some more plagues will come. I believe they were more than happy to get, you know, it, just whatever it takes, get out of here. Take the money, amen, and leave. Amen. And they gave them all their money, all the wealth of Egypt. They spoiled the Egyptians. See, in other words, when God brought them out, he brought them out with a shout. Amen. When he brought them out, they had a smile on their face. They weren't crippled. They weren't broke. They weren't in debt. God brought them out all the way. Let me tell you, we're fixing to get up out of here. Thank you for your enthusiasm today. We are fixing to get up out of here. Amen. There's a rapture of the church coming. Jesus is coming back for a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. No defect. Zero defect in his church. He's coming back for us soon. Do you believe it? I believe he's coming back for us. And see, he's not coming back for a church that is just poor, pitiful, blind, and naked. You know, just barely holding on, just a few more weary days and then. You know, we used to sing that. And how many of you used to sing that? Amen. Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away. Casey, I knew you did because you was with me when we sang it. Amen. So just a few more weary days. I said, I can't sing this anymore. This is not a good confession. And so I started singing just a few more cheery days and then we'll fly away. Praise God. But God's taking us out of here, and he's taking us out in victory. And there's a lot of mess out in the world today. Have you noticed that? You don't have to turn your TV on for very long, you know, to see all the things that are going on, the viruses, the plagues, the economy, things of that nature that are going on, all the negative side effects, and they are all symptoms of a bigger problem. But the Scripture tells us in Isaiah 60, it says, darkness will cover the earth, and gross or dense darkness the people. But the Lord will rise upon you. He said, the Lord will rise upon you. I like because God had a clause there. He said, this may be happening everywhere else, but it's not going to happen on you. See, there were plagues all over Egypt, but it wasn't in the land of Goshen. That's where God's people dwelled. Come on, church. It may be going on all over the world. There may be all kinds of negative things out there, but it doesn't have to be on you. God has a better plan. Can you say better plan?
Better plan.
So he said, gross darkness the people, but the Lord will rise up on you, and his glory will be seen upon you. I know your pastor hits a lot on the glory of God, doesn't he? Well, God wants his glory on your life. Amen. And when you get the glory on your life will begin to rise. God is changing us from glory to glory. In other words, you ought to be getting better, not worse. Amen. Sickness is getting worse. Amen. Lack is worse. Amen. Amen. I've got good news. God's got the better. Amen. He wants us to have better. So God's moving us upward and onward. The children of Israel saw the Jordan River part, but that was only after Moses saw the Red Sea part. Okay, this one, like that? Okay, is that better? Okay, there we go. Thank you. Well, yeah. I thought I was eating some Rice Krispies there for a minute. Amen? Amen. Thank you. See, this is part. That's part of Pastor Rebecca's job. Thank you. Amen. I appreciate that. When Jesus first came on the scene with a miracle healing ministry, you didn't see a lot of people healed up until then. But Jesus made healing and miracles commonplace. Well, many times in the body of Christ, you didn't see a lot of it. I mean, you had the dark ages. God is dead. And then people begin to recognize, hey, God's not dead. He's just sick of people's attitude. Okay. So God, people begin to recognize God is very much alive. Amen. Aren't you glad he's alive? He's not sleeping. Amen. He's alive right now. He's moving in our lives. Amen? So we can see through the dispensations that God began to make things commonplace. Salvation is commonplace, isn't it? Amen. And then we begin to, with the charismatic renewal through the 60s, we begin to see the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit now commonplace. In other words, God's saying, I'm making this normal. And God's doing some things now. Prosperity begin to move in to where the body of Christ is beginning to get a hold of it, where it should be normal. It should be normal. How many of you know the blessing of God should be normal in the life of the believer? Amen. And healing should be normal in the life of the believer. Miracles should be normal in us. Amen. Not only for us, but through us. That you can go out and you can touch somebody else's life. Amen. Hallelujah. Healings were so common in the book of Acts that God began to do unusual healings and miracles. People came just to get under the shadow of Peter. And if they could get in the shadow of Peter, they'd get healed. Paul began to carry handkerchiefs on him, aprons. And as he administered, he'd give them to people and they would get healed. We do that as well. And we've seen cancers go, leukemia go, physical problems healed. There is no time or space in the Spirit. God can do something just as easy 1,000 miles away as He can right here. Amen. And I believe He's doing some things today. Amen. Luke 1:37 says, "For with God nothing shall be impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment." That's the Amplified Version. He said, "No word from God shall be without power." In other words, no matter how many words God gives you, they're not without power. They're not impossible of fulfillment in your life. God will stand behind any word He gives you. And one word from God can change your life forever. Just that one word that God speaks to you, one word that God ministers to your life can be that word that will change your life. You know, you hear people say, "Well, I've heard that before." Well, that's why you need to hear it again. Because faith does not come by having heard, but by hearing, constantly hearing. Amen? And it comes, by, it's released by constantly saying. It comes by constantly hearing. It's released by constantly speaking it, declaring it. I love the story of the lady with the issue of blood. She was not even supposed to be around people, but she heard about Jesus. She heard about healing. And faith began to rise. Hope began to rise inside of her that I can be healed. I don't have to stay in this situation 12 more years. I don't have to stay in this any longer. God wants me healed now. And she pressed through the crowd to get her healing. And as she was pressing through the crowd, she kept on saying to herself, "If I can but touch the hem of His garment, I will be made whole." Hallelujah. We were actually ministering one time in St. Augustine, Florida, where your pastor's at right now. And as we were there, we went to this place that was called the Alligator Farm. And it's a beautiful wildlife place, huge park. And you go in and, you know, there's alligators, parrots, all kinds of wildlife there. But Jennifer and I were walking through on our honeymoon, and we were not thinking of evangelizing the park or anything. You know, we're on our honeymoon. You know, we got other things on our mind, right? So we're walking through the park, and this I hear this man call my name out. And I had this jersey on that said, you know, we're comfortable. You know, I got a jersey on, and the back of it says, and I didn't even think about putting it on. I just threw a jersey on that hat. And it said, on the front, said, "Holy Spirit University, HSU." That's where I go. It's higher education. Amen. The tuition's free, but it's not cheap. Jesus paid it for you. Amen. So on the back, it says, "Receive you the Holy Spirit," or the Holy Ghost. And I hear this man in this very loud, high tone call out to me as we're walking through the park. He said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost, hallelujah!" That's how he said it. And I'm, at this point, I'm walking faster. You know, I turned around and I said, "Okay, dear God, I don't know what's behind me, but we'll just keep on moving on. Amen. Let's go over this way." And they caught up with us, and it was a man and a woman. They were there on a business trip. They'd been friends for years. And they caught up with us, and she said, "He's been trying to get the Holy Ghost for a long time." I said, "Well, great. Good luck with that. We're here on our honeymoon, and we're glad to meet you." Amen. So we kept on going through the park. You know what? Listen, I know if I get caught up doing that, there ain't no end to it. We're just going to keep on flowing with it. Well, we walk a little bit longer, and here comes a high-pitched voice again. "Hey, preacher, do you cast out spirits of infirmity?" Now, there's all kinds of people in this park. There's not one, two. You've been there. I mean, there's people everywhere. I mean, it's a national wildlife place. There's people everywhere. And there's people in between me and this guy, Jennifer and I and them. And he said, "Preacher, you've cast out spirits of infirmity." And I wanted to keep on walking and say, "I don't know who he's talking to. He must be confused." But, you know, I turned around and I said, "Yes." He said, "Well, she's got one." I thought, how would you like to be her right now? Because everybody's probably thinking, "Get away from her. She's got a devil." So he brings her up, and he said, "She's had a breathing disorder for, I mean, how many years? I mean, years and years had this breathing disorder, went to all kinds of physicians and doctors, and has gotten no better. She's had a big bag of medication." I mean, it was like a suitcase that she carried around everywhere because of this problem. You know, she had to take a medication and another medication to offset that medication to help this medication with that medication. You know what I'm talking about? That's the way it is. It's like a domino effect. So he said she's gotten no better. She's spent all of her money on doctors. And it reminded me of the lady with the issue of blood. She spent all of her money on doctors and she got no better. And I said, "Well, you've come to the right place." I said, "Well, let's pray." I had no intention to pray, and I don't pray for devils, I cast them out. Amen. You know, Jesus never said, "Go pray." He didn't pray for demon-possessed people. Amen. He got them delivered. So she wasn't demon-possessed, but she had a spirit of infirmity she needed to be free from. Amen. You know, I mean, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good. Who went about doing good. Who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. She was oppressed. And we, you know, they everybody closed their eyes to pray, and I commanded that spirit to loose her. And it came out of her, and it looked like somebody shot her. In fact, everybody around in the park thought I either knocked her out or shot her. They thought I did something too bad to her. The power of God hits her. She falls out under this tree. She had it made in the shade. And so we're standing there. Jennifer and I are standing there, and the guy's standing there, the high-pitched guy, the high-pitched voice, and we're standing there, and everybody's stepping over her like, "What in the world happened here?" You know, and people start gathering around. And she comes to and she says, I said, "Well, what about it?" She said, "I am totally healed. I'm totally free." She breathed deep. She said, "I've never been able to do that. But Jesus, but God, God's on the move today, isn't he?" Amen. So God's making some things commonplace. He's an uncommon God. And he brings the uncommon on earth and makes it common. Amen? What's uncommon to us, God will begin to so saturate our lives with it to where it becomes commonplace, everyday life, and the expected norm. See, that's why he said, "Thy will be done on earth as it already is in heaven. There's no sickness in heaven. There's no lack in heaven. There's no depression in heaven. There's only joy and peace and victory in heaven. That's all that's in heaven. There's total bliss, joy unspeakable in heaven. That's what's in heaven. And Jesus said, I want it here on earth. See, I like to think of it that God is kissing earth and we get right in the middle of the smack. Amen. Hallelujah. Heaven's coming to earth. Just get right in the middle of the smack. Amen. Get expecting the unusual to happen in your life. Expect the unnatural to happen in your life. See, God puts super on our natural and extra on our ordinary in everyday life. It is unnatural for a believer to act natural. Did you hear that? It's unnatural for a believer to act natural. That's in 1 Corinthians 3:3. Paul said, because you are still in the flesh, for when there is envy, division among you, are you not still walking after the way of the flesh, even as natural men? In other words, when we receive Christ, you are no longer just an average person. At that moment, I said, at that moment, I said, the moment you got born again, not 12 months later, not 5 years later, at that moment when you receive Jesus Christ, you become a child of the living God. Yes. You become an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. At that moment, you become a new creation. At that moment, you took on the supernatural in your life. At that moment, you came to the zenith of your life. At that moment, your best life started then. At that moment, you were healed. At that moment, you had the victory. At that moment, that was your breakthrough. Right. See, and from that point out, we begin to walk out all that He deposited in us when we received Him. God's placed super on our natural, extra on the ordinary. Life should never be the same old, same old. I hear Christians say, how you doing? Well, it's the same old, same old. Well, it should never be like that. Why? Because it's not old. It's always new. It's newer every day. Every day that you wake up, when you get up, instead of saying, good Lord, it's morning, say, good morning, Lord. Amen. Instead of getting tea and toast, get the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's not enough just to make it through the battles in life. You know, so often people make it through the battle and you're like, thank God that one's over. You ever felt like that? But see, God wants us to move beyond that. Lester Sumrall was on a mission. And when he was in Manila, he's laying on his bed in the mission field. And in the middle of the night, his bed started shaking. And his bed shook out in the middle of the floor. And he said, devil, stop it. Get out of here. And the bed stopped shaking. Praise God. And then he sat there for a minute and he said, devil, get back in here. And so that spirit came back in. He said, put the bed back. Yeah. I'm telling you, it's time not just for him to leave you alone, but put your stuff back. Yeah. Come on. Amen. It's time to put the stuff back. Most are content with the devil just leaving them alone. Tell them to put it back. Tell them to put your healing back. One of the biggest lies of the devil is if you got it, you've got to keep it. If this thing came into your life, you've got to keep it. But nothing could be further from the truth. If it came, I had a revelation a number of years ago. If it came, it can go. Right? I've got a phrase now used on virtually everybody comes up, no matter what it is, no matter what's ailing them, no matter what's plaguing their life. I say it's healable. Look at your neighbor and say it's healable. It's healable. God wants you healed. Amen? It's not enough just to get through the battle. God wants us walking in victory and dominion. God's driving us beyond what this world understands, beyond the containment zone. after fasting and being tempted for 40 days. In Luke 4:14, it says, "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and the fame of him went throughout all the region." Now think about that. Jesus, for 40 days, he's been fasting and praying. For 40 days, not just fasting and praying, but for 40 days, taking on hell, being tempted in every way, yet without sin. And at the end of those 40 days, you would think a person would come back saying, "Dear God, I made it through that. I made it through that trial." But no, it says Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. Oh my goodness. I believe God wants you to return in victory. I believe He wants you to not just overcome the obstacles, but overcome them with power, to be stronger than what you were before. If you've come through something, you're stronger now than what you were then. Hallelujah. Listen, the fact that you've not given up yet is an evident token that you've not been defeated. You ought to shout over that today. I said you ought to shout over that. The fact that you've not given up is an evident token that the devil has not defeated you yet. Glory to God. I might start preaching today. Watch out. Amen. Go with God. Go with the driver. He's moving you to greater things in life. Mark 10:46-52, it says, "And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people surrounded him. A blind man named blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And many charged him that he should hold his peace." Boy, I got to stop right there, because let me tell you, the devil does that constantly to God's people. You need to shut up. You need to calm down. Don't rock the boat, baby. You need to back off of this thing. You're getting too radical. You're getting too excited about this God thing. You're getting too excited about this healing thing. You're getting too excited about this miracle thing. You're getting too excited about God blessing you. You're talking too much about that. You just need to calm down. You ever had some family members try to calm you down? My family members tried to calm me down. It didn't work. They tried to calm me down after I got saved. They said, my mom said, I am glad that you don't run wild. I mean, I ran hard, got put up wet. You know, we ran so hard. Let me tell you, in a 5-block radius, over 50 people of the I ran around with are dead today, due to being shot, drug addiction, and everything else, all the violence that came along with it. That's the people we ran around with, okay? Okay, so when I say I ran hard and got put up wet, that's what I'm talking about. Jesus came into my life. He set me free. You know, it's like the one man, you may have heard this guy before, he goes into the church, and he's excited. And the church, they're praising God, and he starts clapping his hands. And then the deacon comes up, taps him on the shoulder, and he said, "Sir, we don't do that here." And he said, "Oh, I'm sorry." A little bit later, he starts clapping his hands again. The deacon comes up, taps him on the shoulder, and says, "Sir, I told you that we don't do that here. If I have to ask you again, I'm going to have to ask you to leave." Well, they started worshiping God, and his hands go up. And the deacon comes over and says, "Sir, I've told you a number of times we don't do that sort of thing here." And the man said, "I am so sorry." He said, "I just got saved and I'm excited about God and what God's done in my life." And the deacon said, "Sir, I don't know what you got, but you didn't get it here." Well, that's a lot of churches today, isn't it? You know, you don't know what you got, but you didn't get it with us. Amen. Well, that's not true here, is it? You did get it here. And you know what else? They saw you come in, so you may as well act like us. Come on. You know, isn't it funny? You're invited a friend to church, and that's the day you're saying, "Lord, just need to ask you something here. This is my buddy over here. This is my friend. I'm bringing them to church. Don't move on people to prophesy or sister chicken walk. No people running around acting crazy today. No Shundai who stole my Hyundai. None of that stuff today. And you take him, and what happens? All of it. But you know what? That's exactly what they need to see. And some people get up and they'll leave and they'll go back to the old, dead, formalistic church. Don't worry about them. Don't look at the ones leaving. Look at the ones coming. Yeah. Amen. See, they'll go out. What they're going to do, they're going to go over to the old, dry church and they're going to be wondering, I wonder what's happening over at Grace Fellowship. I wonder what they're doing over there. Amen. Why? Because nothing. They already know what's going on over there. It's predictable. Get the bulletin out. You'll know everything that's going to happen in this. Oh, that's done. Click. Check that off. Check that off. Check that off. Check that off. We're done here. Amen. But this man, he wouldn't be shut down. He would not be shut down. Blind Bartimaeus, it says he cried out all the more, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And he wouldn't be shut down. So Jesus stopped. I mean, this man made such a ruckus it caused the Son of God to stop. He wouldn't be shut down. Don't let people or the devil shut you down on your route and your path to a victory, a miracle, or a breakthrough in your life. You keep on pressing in. Amen? And so he kept on pressing in. And Jesus, now, he lays his... I love this because it says he stood up and he laid his cloak aside. Blind Bartimaeus laid his cloak, his begging cloak. That told everybody that this man is a beggar. He laid that cloak aside and he came to Jesus. And you know what I love? The next part is Jesus said, what wilt that I should do for thee? Hint. I need a new pair of shoes. No, he said, what do you want me to do for you? I mean, it should have been obvious, right? That should have been obvious. What do you want me to do for you? I'm blind. I would like to see. But see, Jesus was seeing where his faith was at. You can't strip somebody's faith. I mean, if they're believing for something, you get online and agree with them. Amen. And you can encourage them to go further. But this man, blind Bartimaeus, he said, Lord, I want to see. Now, he could have said, I want to see an eye dog. Or I want a Braille tablet of stone. He could have said, you know, one of those cool, fancy canes? I want one of those. I want somebody to help me. But he said, Lord, I want to see, receive my sight. Now, what is it? Jesus said, according to your faith, be it unto you. Amen. So he could have kept at that level and say, I want help with this. We had a man come in a couple months back at the day center downtown where a lot of the video footage was taken that you saw earlier. But this man came in and I labeled him Iron Man because he had metal from the top of his head to the sole of his feet. And Darren's standing there, and Darren was a man that God dissolved the metal in his back and all this. So we're standing there, and Darren's encouraging him, and I said, what do you want God to do for you? He said, I just want help with some of the pain. He just heard the testimonies. God could heal him. God will heal you. It doesn't matter if the metal's there. That metal can go. God created the elements. Why can't he change them? Why can't he dissolve some steel and metal in somebody's body, right? He created the elements. That's why I love creative miracles, where God comes in and he creates something that wasn't there before. The man that knelt down in the video, God gave him a new kneecap. Amen? God reformed muscles in his leg. I mean, that's amazing stuff he couldn't ever do before. Not for, I think he said 20 years. He'd been in condition. God just totally healed him on the spot. Now here, you know, a lot of times, you know, you would think some things are obvious, but they're not. You know what I mean? Some people need help and guided to expect more. But this man, he wouldn't, you know, no matter what, how we encourage him, he said, "I just want some help with the pain." I said, "Okay." I said, he said, "If some of this pain can go, then that'll be wonderful." So we prayed, and I commanded the pain to leave his body, and every bit of the pain left his body. And he was over here doing this, you know, I don't understand it. Where'd it go? I said, "You want the pain to go." But see, God could have healed him too. You see what I mean? Are you with me here today? See, you know, a lot of times we stop short of God's very best in our life. There's good, there's better, and there's best. You know, God's got the best for you. Can you look at your neighbor and say, "God's got the best for you"? And I don't know when I started, and there's an egg timer up here set on zero, and I don't know when I'm stopping. Amen. Is that, are we good? Are we good? Amen. You getting anything yet? Amen. You're getting the best. Amen. Some people get so used to being in a negative state, not Tennessee, Pastor Jack, that they can't see their way out. Pun intended. Blind Bartimaeus, I believe he could see his way out, right? But a lot of people, they can't see the forest for the trees. Jesus did not preach the gospel of coping. Jesus did not come with a gospel of how to cope with your problems. 12 steps on how to cope with this. Now, I have nothing against programs and stuff. You understand? I mean, I'm not against doctors or programs or anything like that. All I'm saying is God's got a better way. God's got a better way. Amen. Thank God for physicians. Thank God for the programs. They're fighting the same ills that we are through faith. But I found out that the Word of God works. I found that when the Word of God is applied to the seat of learning, it's applied to our life, that we can see the evidence of God Almighty working in our lives. In today, right now, we can see things change in our lives. Many people have the mentality, "I've accepted that it's here to stay. Just help me deal with it, Lord." But you don't have to. Today can be the first day of the rest of your life. A day of change, a day of miracles happening in your life. A day, one word from God. One word from God can change your life forever. Amen. God wants to bring that word into your life that will change you. It will change your life from inside out. You know, that's a wonderful thing about God, because He works from the inside out. See, religion works from the outside in. We need to put, you know, we need to put a suit on you. And we need to get your hair cut, or, you know, we need to get that makeup off of you. You know, or whatever, you know. It's like one man said, asked a preacher, he said, "Do you think women should wear makeup?" And he's an old farmer. He said, "If the barn needs painted, you paint it." Right? Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We knew a preacher, J.E. Thornton, down in Georgia, and he's just a sweet old man. He said, I used to believe all that. He said, I used to preach against women wearing makeup and everything. You could tell he was totally delivered from all that. He said, "I even preached that the dogs wouldn't even lick Jezebel's fingers because she had fingernail polish on." But he got totally set free, you know. Those things bind people. You know, they keep them down. And God wants you to enjoy life. He didn't save you to put another burden on you. I'm telling you, some people will go to church. They'll go into church with one burden, leave with five. You know? I mean, God wants you free. He wants you totally free. He wants you so filled and so blessed, you got to be twins to share it. Amen. Matthew 28:30, Jesus came to the two blind men. He said, "What do you want me to do for you?" They said, "Lord, we want to see." He said, "According to your faith, be it unto you." God will move according to your expectation. Amen. Philippians 1:19, Paul said, "For I know that this shall turn out to my salvation through your prayers and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I will be ashamed." Isn't that wonderful? He said, "I know that these things are..." Now he's talking about, he's right in the middle of jail and beatings, and he said, "You know what? This is going to turn out for my good." You know, it didn't look good. You know, when Paul and Silas were thrown in jail in Philippi, that's where the Philippian church came from, and they were thrown in jail. You know, they were, it says, about midnight, they begin to praise and sing hymns to God, and God shook that jail. You know, most Christians, they'd been in there and saying, "Paul, I told you to shut up, but you wouldn't do it. I told you these people are getting mad, but you just kept on. You wouldn't stop. You wouldn't be quiet. And look at us now. We're suffering for Jesus." No, they weren't like that. What they do, they said, "Lord, we need some more artillery here. Come on." Instead of retreating, say, "Praise the Lord, pass the ammo. We're ready to go the next step." Amen. We're ready to go forward. We're going up from here. We're not going down from here. This is our finest hour. It's our best time yet. Amen. So for us to raise that expectation, we have to renew our perception. We can't know and recognize God's best without having our minds renewed by His Word. We know Romans 12:2, don't we? Amen. "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what God's will is, His good, acceptable, and perfect will." In other words, good, better, best. God's got it all. He has good, He's got better, and God's got the very best for your life. Amen? Amen. I mean, you can stop anywhere. You can stop at any level. He's the good shepherd. Amen. He's going to lead you at whatever level you're at. But I want to encourage you today that God's got a whole lot more for us, doesn't He? He's got the best for us. You don't have to, bless, praise God, you don't have to stop with a limp. You may not have been able to walk before. Now you're limping. Thank God you're limping. Amen. I said, thank God for the limp. Thank God it's better than what it was before. Listen, instead of complaining and remaining, begin to praise Him and thank Him for it. Amen. If your house is leaning on one side, get on the side it's not leaning on and begin to jump up, shout, and praise the Lord. Amen. If you've got three bald tires and one good one, get beside the good one. Jump up and shout and say, "Glory to God, I got a good tire. They're not all bald. There's always something good there, you see." So you just begin to praise God for all the good things that He's got for you. Amen. Thank God I've got an arm that works good. Thank God my legs work good. Thank God good things are coming to me. Thank God the best is yet to come. Thank God I'm not stopping here. Thank God it's not over. I said, thank God it's not over. Hallelujah. The best is yet to come for you. We have a part to play in having God's best in and for our lives. It's not going to just land on us. Like Brother Hagin said, he said, it's not going to fall on your head like ripe cherries falling off a tree. And we got a part to play in it. Amen? And there's steps of faith that we take to get God's very best in our lives. Your confession will take you to that next level of faith. You've got to say something. You've got to confess something. You've got to say what God says about you. He said, by His stripes you're healed. He says, He became poor that we through His poverty might become rich. He said, you're on the top and not the bottom, the head and not the tail, above only and never beneath. He said, you're going over, not under. Amen? Hallelujah. That's enough to shout about right there, isn't it? Hallelujah. He's got good things for us. Proverbs 18:20, and we're wrapping this up here. He said, verse 20, he said, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. In other words, our life will be filled with whatever we're saying, whatever we're confessing, whatever we're declaring, amen? Whatever words we're eating on is what our lives will be filled with. Speaking of eating, amen? Anybody like eating here? Now, y'all, some of y'all think about eating right now, aren't you? Amen. Listen, this upcoming Friday, we're having a dinner. It's a compliments of the GO team. And it's free. Amen. Like, how many of you like free food? I mean, good free food. Some free food, I'll pass. You know. But this is good food for you. It's at Grace Main, Friday night, 6:30. Amen. And just let us know that you're coming. Sign up in the back and come on out and join us. You'll have a good time. We'll bless you and let you know of what God's doing, and you can how you can pray and partner with us in touching Lexington and Kentucky with the gospel. Amen? Amen. God's got some wonderful things for us. Do you believe it? Yeah. Lastly, I'll touch on this one last point here. Is defy shell shock. You've got to defy shell shock. What is shell shock? It's when something happens in your life that is shocking. And every time you go to do that same thing or you get around that set of circumstances, you freeze. You stop. Amen. I mean, this is a military term, shell shock. I worked with some guys from Vietnam for a while. And this one guy, he said, you know, every time a car backfires, I'm down in combat mode. Usually, he said, if I'm sleeping, I'm under the bed. What is it? It was a fear or a shock that hit him. Now we call it post-traumatic stress disorder. Same thing, shell shock. In other words, there's a, and it's not just people in the military that get this. Everybody, it hits everybody. Just at different levels, you understand, and in different ways. I mean, if you open the door and the door closer wasn't working right and it smacked you in the back of the head, you might think twice the next time you open the door. Right. So, but you can't let that stop you from going through doors. Amen. You can't let that stop you just because mama burnt the biscuits once. You didn't stop eating, did you? I can tell some of you didn't stop eating. I mean, my mama burnt the biscuits a couple times, but I kept eating. Amen. You got to keep on eating. You got to keep on moving. You keep believing God. Regardless of what happens, you got to pass the historical boundaries caused by shell shock. Shell shock creates an environment where things have not changed and you become numb to it and therefore do not expect changes to happen in your life. See, shell shock's where the fuse is blown. Instead of risking another blown fuse, the safe thing is to avoid the issue. Amen? But to avoid the issue is to stay there. If you're walking the healing out, you keep on working that healing. Whatever it may be, take that step. Amen? Keep on stepping. Sow another seed. Praise God. Amen? Believe God for greater things. Amen? Problems in the past or failures to receive from God create the mindset, I've tried that before. I've done that before. It works for other people and not me. See, many people we see through the Word of God, a lot of people in the Word of God, same things happen to them. And it's easy to get in that mode, well, this is for other people and it's not for me. I guess God's over here, He's healing other people and He won't heal me, or He's blessing other people who's not blessing me. Listen, the blessing starts from the head. Listen, yours is on its way. Amen? Listen, you just keep on working your faith. Many people were healed as they went on their way. Amen? Some of you are going to be healed today. I know. There's some people, you're here today, you came with things in your life, this is your day. I said, this is your day. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There's a process of faith. Symptoms are not the absence of faith, nor are they the presence of a problem. Did you get that? Symptoms are not the absence of faith. Doesn't mean you don't have faith. And they don't necessarily mean there's a problem. Sometimes the devil just throw symptoms on you. And there's no problem, he'll just try to put the symptoms on you. What does he put in? You feel that tingly brother, that's that bird flu that's out there. You know, whatever. You know, just try to put something on you. I ain't got no bird flu. I ain't been around no birds. No Hong Kong flu. I never been to Hong Kong. The swine flu. I don't hang out with pigs. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And see, God wants us to have a life and more abundantly to the fullest. Amen. Did you get anything today? Amen. Amen. Let's stand together.